In our studios, very appreciative that Brian Nolan and someone named John Fitzgerald, both of whom I did not know 5 minutes ago, are in our studios, GMI Studios. And one of my good friends and regular contributors and one of the true leaders in the state on a lot of stuff, especially veterans advocacy through Swim with a Mission, Phil Taub, joining us on our GMI studio line. But in the studios, John and Brian, and Phil brought this to my attention, this story. And I want to set it up this way, Phil, to let you kind of kick off the intros to Brian and John. You know, I shared on the show this morning, talking to a friend earlier, and when we had our state police friends, a 23-year member who's moving on, I said, you know, we are not judged in the end by how many zeros on our bank account, how big our boat is, how many square feet our house is, how many vehicles we have. Typically, I think what you do, and I know, Phil, this motivates you and Julie Taub with Swim of the Mission. What do you do to help others? Think about this. If it all ended tonight or tomorrow, what do you do to help others? Our guest, Phil, and I only met them for a few moments, and what they're showing me, these pictures, they started a group, folks. By the way, during the interview this hour, go to NH4, like Bobby Orr, the number 4, NH4 Ukraine, NH4, the number 4, Ukraine.org. These two have been going back and forth to Poland and the Ukraine to support the troops there. And that's truly making a difference. That's a little more than like, oh, I sent $10 to this or helped this. That's like, I got on a plane, and for 3 weeks of my life, I left New Hampshire in the comfort of my home to go get in the middle of this thing to make a difference, to help the people there. And Phil, that's, you don't do that every day, do you?
No, you sure don't, Jack. And thank you so much for giving a voice to this incredible story. And these two incredible men, Brian and John from Bedford, New Hampshire, my hometown, Jack. This is a, these guys are humble and they're quiet, but this story cannot remain quiet. This is too important, Jack. And so I can't appreciate you enough for putting them on the air and letting both of them tell their story. And, you know, John, for example, Navy veteran, retired air traffic controller. So typical, right, of those that serve. Mm-hmm. But this is a very, very important story, Jack, and we got to get the word out there. And I know that there are other people out there that want to make a difference and help as well.
What's neat about this New Hampshire group, Phil, is I bring in Brian to start because I think it's kind of segue in how he and John met on this. I'm looking at, Phil, some pictures they brought back. And you're aware of this because you told them to bring these into the studio. We're going to put these on our social media. I'm looking at a mortar shell. And it reminds me of World War II and stuff my grandfather brought back. There's a mortar shell, and on it, with like, a Sharpie magic marker on the mortar shell in war, Ukrainian soldier writes, "Thank you, NH4 Ukraine," on the mortar shell, NH4 Ukraine. Almost like in World War II, the bombers would put on the pilots or the crew would put on their bombs, like the name of their mother, their hometown, their girlfriend, their wife. So this is pretty cool. Brian, how did Phil, stay with us a moment. Brian, how did this start?
Boy, when you mentioned World War II, you hit the nail on the head. Early in the war, when I was watching this unfold, all I could think of was when the Germans invaded Poland in 1939, the brutality of the invasion, you know, watching farming villages get leveled with no military value at all, just to run right over them and make no effort to spare civilians. And since then, we've only seen the behavior of the Russians become more sadistic.
Not to mention rape and murder.
Sure.
Not just soldier to soldier, but like civilians.
Yeah, this is stuff we just didn't think we were going to see in the 21st century, and it's so reminiscent of World War II. So, you know, watching this from my home in Bedford, I just felt a compulsion to act. Doing nothing was not an option. So I started looking at Facebook groups to get the lay of the land over there, what really needed to be done, not what did I think needed to be done.
But, Brian, I got to interrupt, and I want to bring in John Fitzgerald here. I got to push back on both of you with a question. I always like to get to what was the genesis, what was the seed. Not everyone sits in a presumably safe, comfortable home in Bedford, New Hampshire, looks across the world seeing this, and does something, and actually hops on a plane to go over there. I mean, John served in the Navy. You didn't. I asked about military background. What made you actually say, I'm going to do this? Yeah.
Wow.
That's not a small step.
Well, my sister jokes that I have a I have an overactive empathy gene I was born with. So maybe that plays a part in it. I wish I could tell you. There's no simple answer. You know, I donated originally to an organization over there, and it just felt so inadequate to do that. So that just started the whole train rolling, and, you know, through a lot of serendipitous events, we ended up networking with a lot of people over there. I had a Ukrainian couple move into my house to take care of my dogs while I was gone. And these people that moved in are IT workers from Ukraine, so they were really dialed in over there. And they became, in essence, our U.S. support system on WhatsApp. Every time we would need an address of a wholesale supplier or a mechanic or anything like that, they'd get online.
Well, maybe that was meant the B part.
Yeah.
John,
how did
this guy talk to you about being getting on a perfectly good airplane and doing this, John? What were you thinking?
Well, actually, for Brian and I had worked together previously, like 18 months, 20 months before we got together for this Ukraine thing. And as he said, when we were talking before the show, I hadn't seen him in a while. And I was driving around near his neighborhood. It reminded me of Brian. I said, I should give him a call and ask him if he wants to get together for lunch or a beer. So I did that. I called him right then and I said, hey, let's get together tomorrow for a beer or something. And he said, I can. I'm going to Poland. And he explained to me what he was doing over there. And I finished my errand. I went back to my house. I told my wife that Brian was heading to Poland. And first thing out of her mouth was, you should go.
Really?
Yeah, so wow. 5 days later, I landed in Krakow. Brian picked me up in a rented van, and off we went.
Phil, what does this remind you of, Phil? It sounds like it reminds me of some of our friends down in Fort Pierce in terms of what drives them, you know, that humble, quiet way, right?
Yeah, it's the way you look at the world, right? And you know, you're not just going to suffer in silence. You're going to do something about it, and that's what I love about both of these guys, right, that sets them apart. Didn't even occur to them not to do anything.
Yeah.
And look at this. They're about to go next week on their fourth trip over there, Jack.
I know I was going to ask them in a minute, but, I just looking at pictures John and Brian brought in, Phil, you've seen, you told them to bring them. I'm looking at, like, shuttered tanks on the side of the road. It reminds me of, like, World War II images of, like, an American tank or a German Tiger tank that was blown up at a battle. I'm looking at burnt-out apartment buildings, you know, that are just totally rubble, you know, just totally like someone once lived there. I'm looking at soldiers. I mean, this is amazing stuff. How many times have you been over there now?
This will be our fourth trip over, third time within Ukraine. The first trip, we ended up supplying a refugee center on the border in Poland.
Yeah.
We ended up raising $55,000 on a GoFundMe page for the first trip. So we spent the vast majority of that buying supplies for the refugee center.
Now, John, you served in the Navy, and Phil said you were FAA controller.
Yes.
And also, he's wearing a Ryder Cup golf shirt, so I'm surmising you likes golf.
Yes.
But, John, is this life-changing to you or not, what you've seen?
You know, aside from being a husband and a father, it's hands down the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever experienced anything where, you know, you see the results of your actions immediately. You know, as Brian has heard me say a million times, one of the things that made it so rewarding was when we went there, there were so many people like us who saw the carnage and the horror on TV, jumped on an airplane from everywhere in the world. I mean, there were people there from Japan and Australia and Sweden and just literally everywhere in the world. And everybody was pulling on the same end of the rope. I mean, there was no divisiveness. It was all just mission oriented.
No politics, nothing. Just
no
everyone.
Politics. Nobody discussed even the war. We didn't even discuss the war.
Yeah.
Everything was refugee centered.
I think because I have a friend, a military friend, as part of Fusion Cell, he's originally from Poland, and Rad was telling about the humanitarian crisis and the refugee crisis that we're not realizing how many millions of people have had to leave their homes. And J-Doc, we had that younger woman on the show, and she and her husband came to Bedford, New Hampshire, ironically, and stayed with Todd Fahey's family. You know, real quickly, before I let Phil go and continue with John and Brian in our studios, this is the one thing, you've been there and I haven't, that I think I was talking earlier about Vladimir Putin and what a shrewd individual. I think he underestimated people like you and others actually going and caring. And because I've heard from the Ukrainian people, this kind of support has been a game changer for them.
Absolutely. I mean, even the Ukrainians themselves were surprised by the personal level of support that they were getting on the border and in country. They sort of knew that the West would put forward some sort of military financial support. But as far as people actually going there and performing the work for these refugees, transporting and feeding and clothing and housing people who have been displaced by this war, I think even the Ukrainian people were surprised.
Well, I think of Dave Tilley and others who have such a strong connection to the Ukraine. The website, again, to check out, we're going to take a quick break, but I'm going to let Phil just end this segment. NH4Ukraine.org. NH4Ukraine.org. Go there now and support these folks. Phil and John and Brian, you did one thing really, really well. Getting Phil Taub to kind of help you out and what he's done with Swim with the Mission is a little bit like going to David Pastrnak or Brad Marchand of the Bruins saying, can you score a couple goals for me? I think Phil's the one person who's going to be able to help you also. And getting you here was thanks to Phil and through Phil. So, Phil, you got to feel pretty good once again, helping folks far away and helping these two here in Bedford.
Yeah, we definitely want to thank Phil. Thanks, Phil, for getting us up here today.
Exactly. Thanks so much.
No, as always, I do the easy part, and, you know, you guys are doing the hard part. And I would just say I hope folks that are listening here are, you know, inspired by your story and will make a donation, because every dollar that they put in, you guys are going to spend very wisely and make a difference in the Ukraine. And I want to wish you guys the best of luck on your trip. We'll be tracking you through the website and look forward to catching up with you when you guys are back.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Phil.
Hey, Phil, quick question for you.
Yeah.
You move very quickly. How do you catch a cold? How do germs even find you? You're always somewhere. You're moving all the time. How do you actually get a cold?
Jack, you know about that cave at the Mount Washington. you know, I might have been in there late at night with Governor Sununu this weekend, and yes, but he's fine. I'm sick, so.
Well, no, I thought it might have been Rick Kaiser, or a Navy SEAL kept you out, or took you up in a helicopter with no coat on. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. Talk soon.
We come back. NH4Ukraine.org. 603-228-2080. Our number, if you want to call, and I said this to Brian and John, we have an incredibly generous audience and a very business owner type audience that supports just about everything I've gone to them on the show. Our Make 12 Hours Count, our events. When I heard about the woman up in the Lakes region who was housebound, her husband had been a veteran, he had passed, and she just needed a ramp. And one of you called in, and it was in the area, and basically got a hold of the care coordinator on the veteran side and put $5,000 on your card aside to build that ramp. If you want to call in, 603-228-2080, 603-228-2080 during the break and talk to J-Dog and get a number. I know many of you are humble and quiet about how you do this, so if you want to call in, Brian and John are here, we'll connect you. It's a great way to maybe not go to the Ukraine or Poland to help, but they're doing it. We're going to come back and learn more about their trips, when they're going next, and a little bit about the nitty-gritty of this war that we're not hearing and seeing here at home. Back on Good Morning Hampshire, the Pulse of an Age in a moment. So we have Brian and John, two friends from Bedford, New Hampshire, right here at home. And Brian, when are you going back again? Your trip coming up?
We are leaving this Monday coming up, Monday night, flying into Prague, Czechoslovakia, picking up a van that's been donated to us for our use, make a 7-hour ride to the Ukrainian border, and then show's on.
You know, John and Brian, I want to stay on the human side of this with you two. I think this is an amazing story, what you're doing. And again, if you're just joining us, go to the site. You can support these two. They started this organically. NH4, the number 4, my favorite hockey player, NH4Ukraine.org. NH4Ukraine.org. Go there. I just think about, I mean, it's just the timing of this is, I think, very inspirational. Let's face it. This is a sort of the doldrums of winter. I have a theory that a lot of people battle more mental health and anxiety and depression than we know. I think it's the number one health issue, and people want to do something to help others. I often hear, Jack, thank you for talking about this because I wouldn't have known. So Phil brought this to my attention. I didn't know about you two, but I just think it's amazing at your stage in life, you know, you both don't have to do these things, that you're actually hopping on a plane Monday, getting in a van, going into potentially harm's way, even if it's a safe part of the country, working with the Ukrainian military to let them know that you have their back. I think this is, John, I know you're not the type, I just think this is really beyond cool. I mean, we have Hollywood types and celebrities, and we'll talk about this, do that, but you're doing it, quietly doing it. And that's leadership. That's pretty cool.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I mean, I guess that's the part of it that makes it so rewarding, you know, just going to work for one of these larger NGOs that are
what's an NGO?
Non-governmental organization, things like the Red Cross and things of that nature. And not to put them in a bad light or anything, but they are very much the large beast. There's a lot of bureaucracy to it. Some of it's very necessary, you know, to prevent waste and fraud and all that other stuff. But it's different than what we do. We raise money here. We fly there at our own expense. We take that money. We treat every dollar as though it's our own. We buy things wholesale. We work with a clearinghouse that keeps track of lists of refugee centers, orphanages, hospitals, that kind of thing, with their latest needs. We then go out and we buy that stuff and we deliver it either that day or the next day, so that you're not having, you know, places getting deliveries every week of oatmeal when they have, you know, a closet full of oatmeal. They get the things they need when they need them. And then we move on to the next place that has needs.
Now, I have the value, I have the benefit of looking at these visuals. So, John, there's a picture of you. It looks like with a Ukrainian soldier in some boxes. Where is this?
That would have been in, yes, that's in Poland. That is outside the Ukrainian embassy, or I'm sorry, the Ukrainian consulate in the town of Chemish, Poland, which is in the southwest corner of the country, southeast corner of the country.
Brian, I see you picture standing on top of a shuttered tank holding sort of the split flag of the red, white, and blue with the Ukrainian flag, and you're on top of the tank. Where's that?
That was actually in a small town right next to Bucha. You may have heard of Bucha, where the Russians massacred a large number of civilians.
How many? I'm just curious. Just talk about that one area. How many civilians did they kill, do you think, do you know of?
In Bucha?
Yeah.
Or, oh, geez. I don't know. It was in the hundreds. That was the one that was notorious because the streets were littered with dead civilian bodies.
I think the initial number was close to 300.
These are civilians, not soldiers. Civilians.
Civilians.
Yeah, these were women and children and men that weren't in the military.
Yeah.
This is like the Nazis did in certain.
Oh, absolutely.
They'd go into France and somebody's just line up people in the street and just kill them.
Yeah, Bucha is a suburb of Kyiv. When we were in Bucha, that's when I realized how close the Russians got to Kyiv. That is a suburb. That would be like getting to Medford, Mass on your way to Boston. That's how close the Russians got. And I think, you know, they were getting frustrated at that point because they were getting ambushed left and right. It became urban combat. So we went through Bucha and we were heading eventually over to Kharkiv, or Kharkiv as Americans would pronounce it, in the Far East. And we just happened upon this graveyard of Russian tanks. There were about 13, 14 of them there, decimated. And you could see from one of those pictures what they call the jack-in-the-box effect, the faulty design of the Russian tanks. When they get hit, the shells are very vulnerable, and the shells explode, and the entire turret goes up about 50 feet in the air with the explosion. So when we were there, Ukrainian police officer stopped by to talk to us, and he showed us where they ambushed these Russians. It was an intersection right nearby. So,
and now there's a picture here. I think it's of you with sort of a cross section. Is that the Ukrainian soldiers?
They are. They are. That was near the town of Balaklia. So the last trip I was over there, I just happened to be in Kharkiv when they were launching the big counteroffensive to the east, which was phenomenally successful. They were rolling right over the Russians, pushing them back toward the Russian border. And I met a fellow who works at a nonprofit part-time, you know, on his own time in Kharkiv. We did the aid drop to his nonprofit. Then he told me he has a buddy who's a battalion commander with 1,800 guys under him. And if this guy I was driving with at the time, John didn't make that trip, unfortunately. He had other commitments. But I was driving with a guy from California. We pooled our own resources to buy a big load of stuff for the soldiers. So one of Dima's, Dima was the battalion commander, one of his guys met us and took us out to the house where the soldiers were staying. And we dropped off generator, cooking stoves, and a big load of food, all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
And
they must have been happy to see that.
Yeah, so that was when we offloaded there. And then they gave us a VIP tour to the town of Balaclia. We jumped in a Land Rover with a couple senior soldiers.
In a war zone.
Yeah. That was probably the most unforgettable day of my life.
Yeah, and it had just been recently liberated, right? Like within 40 hours.
Yeah, two days earlier they had liberated it. The foreign press wasn't
even... I'm thinking you're reliving history. It's almost like when Patton's and Monty, when they went into Italy or France, and they just... Some of these towns literally were liberated.
Yeah, yeah.
Blown apart, but buildings...
Yeah,
Saving Private Ryan.
Every building along the road was destroyed. But the thing that impacted me the most from that was seeing the morale of the Ukrainian troops.
Mm-hmm.
We were driving through tank columns and troops, and we had one of the senior soldiers in the Land Rover with us, and the troops were just going nuts, waving to them. They were so pumped because it was going so well at that point. And, there were still dead Russians by the side of the road. They hadn't cleaned up yet because the Russians tend to booby-trap the bodies, so they have to make sure to...
Oh, really? Are you serious? They'll booby-trap a body?
Yeah. Kind of like, I think, maybe the North Vietnamese used to do that. They put a grenade, pull a pin, and
so this ruthful, this ruthfulness, the violence, the savagery of the Russian troops, this is not... You've seen it. This is not exaggerated.
Yeah.
Because I've heard about the rapes, the innocent civilians, not killing soldier to soldier, but killing civilians.
Yeah, yeah.
Murdering.
They loot at will. They actually get orders from their commanders to loot everything as they go through towns. It's become kind of a joke in Ukraine. For whatever reason, the Russians love to procure washing machines and take them back to Russia. So they're famous for loading up every washing machine in a town and taking it back home. Yeah, it's really unspeakable what they're doing over there. They're not, war is never good, but at least you can play by the rules if you have to launch it. But there are no rules for Russia that they're following.
Well, hold the thought. When we come back, we're going to hear more from John Fitzgerald and Brian, New Hampshire 4, the number 4, Ukraine.org, on how people here can really help. And in the next segment, how, even if it's $50 or $100, what are you going to do with it? Happy to help shine a light, because they're doing it, and for real, shine a light for Brian and John here from Bedford, New Hampshire, in our studios. Nice enough to come up. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
NH4, the number 4, Ukraine.org, on their way Monday to go back. How many, fourth or fifth trip? Fourth?
Fourth trip coming up.
And each time you go, but this is weeks of your life. How many weeks are you going for?
We're going 3.5 weeks this time.
Wow.
Generally, they average 3 to 4 weeks on average.
So life goes on here at home, but you're serving as civilians. John, you served in the Navy, but you're serving. I mean, you're literally going to serve, and this is amazing. And what's the mission of this next trip coming up? Give us some details on how people can help. And if someone is going to give $50 or $25 or $100 or more, what are you going to do? Tell us how you're making a difference.
Yeah, basically what we do is we fundraise back home here through a bunch of networks. And
it's going to go up today, I'm telling you that.
I hope.
Thanks for that, yeah. We can spend every dollar we can raise. And we basically take the money over there and buy primarily food and other aid for refugee centers within Ukraine. And we also get specific requests to support the military over there. So we've had a couple really nice big donations that people would like earmarked to spend on the military. So we'll be buying a unit that we know, specialty generator, large power banks, because it's become an electronic war to a certain extent. So we'll be buying them things like that. That's the gist of it.
And John, if someone's going to give and help, because it's you two. I mean, I just said, for example, check your website, nh4ukraine.org, after the show, because I'm sure you're going to see some increased activity, people going to it. But if someone is going to give and support, what do you do with it?
Okay, so if you go to nh4ukraine.org, you'll see a donate button there. That donate button will take you to a PayPal site. And this trip is a little bit different. This trip, we are hooked up with an organization called United Ukraine. They are a registered 501c3, so any money that you donate through nh4ukraine.org is tax deductible. And as Brian said, we raise the money over here. We pay our own way over there, and then we get these lists from the clearinghouse that we work with, a place called UAID, and we buy and deliver wholesale, and we buy and deliver wholesale to refugee centers, hospitals, things of that nature.
I think the thing, Brian and John, that's still my favorite, all these pictures are great, by the way. Thank you for bringing them, because it does put a human, for me, who pays attention to this stuff but hasn't been to Ukraine or Poland, it puts a different light on this. But I'm looking at that one of the mortar where the troops of the Ukraine have put, they're so grateful to you, they actually have marked in their mortars what they're using in war against the Russian soldiers or tanks, the mortar, thank you, NH4 Ukraine, right on with a Sharpie, I presume, right on the mortar shell.
Yeah.
It does remind me of World War II stuff.
Yeah. One thing we're bringing to them is we've procured 1,000 pairs of hand warmers and 1,000 pairs of toe warmers like you'd use when you go skiing.
Yeah.
And those are a big supply. So when
they would have liked that at the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
they would have. So when they found out we were bringing those, all of a sudden those popped up in my WhatsApp through my buddy over there who has the connections. So, I can't wait to see what they do for a generator.
You know, again, I think this falls into the category of doing something to make a difference. John, you mentioned earlier at the outset that when you'd bumped into Brian again, you'd known each other, called him for lunch or beer, and then mentioned to your wife that, you know, he was headed over, and she basically said, you should go. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty
she
cool.
She was very...
you're blessed to have someone like that on your way.
Yeah, I truly am. She was seeing the same thing on TV and in the news reports that I was seeing of, women and children being displaced from their homes with no place to go, to a strange country. Ukrainian and Polish are not the same language. They're both small countries. Ukraine is a relatively poor country. I think the median household income there is like $4,500. It's like three times that in Poland. So any money that they could be that they could bring from one country to the other doesn't go as far. All of that to say that it is a humanitarian disaster on many fronts.
Right.
And these people needed as much help as we could possibly give them. So it was all the more impetus, and with her backing, decided to go. And as I said, 5 days later, I was getting picked up at the Krakow Airport in Poland by Brian.
It's amazing. And Brian, before we let you guys go again, NH4, the number 4, Ukraine.org. I don't want to spend time. I will talk anytime, but Zelensky, I think we talked earlier during the break. There's no question that Vladimir Putin underestimated a lot of things here. I think he thought this would be a very quick, a month-long type thing. He'd roll over. The people would roll down and want to become part of Russia. He'd take the seacoast side and move on. And Zelensky's amazed me and surprised me. I think as a time, I've always been amazed, and I look at history, I think of Churchill. I think of some leaders that just wound up in positions where if they weren't there, I don't know if the world would be here. I mean that sincerely. I mean, I think of some of the people. I think Zelensky is an amazing communicator. But what about the average person when you go there? I'm going to end on this. The Ukrainian person. John had just mentioned, or someone of you had mentioned, that, poorer country, small country. But the resolve and the will of the Ukrainian people has amazed me. Do you feel that when you go there? Do they have this will that we, as painful and as bad and as thousands of our...
Oh, absolutely.
Fellow countrymen and women who've been slaughtered, that we are going to prevail?
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like the harder you hit them, the more their resolution
grows. Where does
that
come from?
Boy, I don't know.
I think when they got their independence 30 years ago, shuffling off those shackles and proceeding as a...
They're not going to go back.
To some form, through the steps of democracy and whatnot.
Right.
Like you said, they've come so far that they know what backwards means,
right,
and they don't want to go there. They are young enough to remember that. The people who aren't young enough to remember that, they are the first generation of those who are young enough to remember it. And as Brian said, the harder you hit them, the more resolved they become to maintaining their freedom.
Well, I'm going to keep talking about this. It's an honor to have you both here. Thank you for your service as civilians from New Hampshire, making a real difference, putting your money where your mouth is or your body where you're... I mean, it's amazing that you're acting like this. Fourth time over, going Monday, Godspeed. John and Brian, NH4, the number 4, Ukraine.org. I'm asking you to support this effort Because going into the weekend or tonight, you're going to do something that's going to make a real difference. And John made a tactful diplomatic point earlier. Nothing against the Red Cross and these large organizations. This is a New Hampshire-born effort. It's pure. It's these two. They're going over there. They're making the difference. They need to raise a little more resources. Everything they do, they're bringing stuff with them. NH4 Ukraine, NH4Ukraine.org. Just please go there and make a donation and support. I'm going to keep pushing it. Thank you both very much for coming in.
Jack, thanks so much for having us.
Thanks,
we appreciate
very
it.
Much for having us.
Really, travel well, great. And keep in touch. I want to hear when you get home how it went.
We'll be making regular posts on our website if anybody wants to follow that. We have a Facebook page, NH4Ukraine.
And Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you guys are getting high-tech on me.
Oh, it's as far try. As I go. Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you. Keep in touch with the show. We'll keep in touch with you. Thanks for any other media out there. Please contact these two because you can make a difference. The more awareness, you can just go to their Facebook page, I imagine they'll respond.